T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, guys. Guys being gender neutral. We have Melissa DeRosa, Robert Mejica, Beth Garvey, Howard Zucker, Gareth Rhodes. Let me give you some of the numbers today and some highlights. Today is day 236. We did 135,000 tests yesterday. The numbers were very good yesterday. After 14 days of data, you know, we've been adjusting our focus in the quote-unquote micro clusters. We rearranged the restrictions in Queens, Brooklyn, and we added focus in Steuben and Chemung. As I mentioned, through the fall, you will see micro clusters come and go. They are such small geographic areas, and the numbers are so small, they can literally be generated by just a couple of events that violated rules. So you will see them rise and you will see them fall. And that is going to be the way of the world as we know it for the foreseeable future until we get the vaccines. The positivity rate in the red zones, microclusters, because really not just red, they're red, orange, and yellow, right, was 3.2%. That is very low, comparatively. The state without the microclusters was 0.96, okay? And let me just make sure you understand the methodology, because I don't want any confusion. We oversample the microclusters because we're trying to do a lot of tests, because we're trying to do a lot of contact tracing, because we're trying to isolate the infected people, because we're trying to bring down the number in that microcluster. And it's an all hands on deck. So we oversample very small areas of the state. That number is 3.2% today. The rest of the state, without the microcluster, the microclusters, remember, let's say they're 3% of the population, 4% of the population, so they're very small. The rest of the state is 0.96. Those are the numbers that we use. If you add the two numbers together, today, it's 1.2. That number fluctuates. Why? Because it's statistically not relevant. It's a function of how many tests you did in the oversampled area. That's all that's really telling you. So yesterday it was 1.6, I believe. That's right. Somebody says, oh my God, 1.6, that's so high. This number is not statistically representative the way the other two individual numbers are. The infection rate in the microcluster is relevant. Is that going up or down? Statewide number is relevant. You put the two together, that number is less relevant. But 3.2, 0.96, 1.2. Those are the numbers. 986 hospitalized, 209 in ICU, 106 intubated. Regionally, New York City 1.1, Capital 0.9, Central 1, Finger Lakes 1.4, Long Island 1, Mid-Hudson 1.5, Mohawk Valley 0.6, North Country 0.5, Southern Tier 1.5, Western New York 1.5. Western New York now has the issue of the counties along the Pennsylvania border where we're seeing upticks. It's less in the Buffalo area. It's more the counties on the Pennsylvania border. Note, early voting begins this Saturday in New York. Note, when you're talking about the relative situation of New York, there is only one state that is below 1%. That's Maine at 0.5. Today, we're at 0.9, which would put us second to Maine at 0.5. I'd like to comment on something that's in the news recent today. Secretary Azar is the HHS secretary. He reportedly is considering firing the FDA director, Dr. Steve Hahn. The White House has been unhappy with the FDA because they've been unwilling to accelerate the approval of the vaccine because they wanted it done for Election Day, is what the president had said. The FDA has resisted timing the approval to Election Day. You don't make governmental decisions based on the election calendar. You especially don't make public health decisions based on the election calendar. You especially don't decide that a vaccine is safe to take based on an election calendar. For Azar to say he's going to fire Hahn because he hasn't been compliant with the political gospel of the Trump administration, that is unethical. I am shocked that the HHS Inspector General, assuming it was a real person, didn't say they were going to investigate that. You're talking about life and safety on the approval of a vaccine, trying to rush the FDA to approve it for a campaign platform for the president is abhorrent to the Hippocratic Oath that doctors take. To Dr. Hahn, I would say, remember your oath and do your duty as your medical profession requires. Save your soul, Dr. Hahn. Save your soul. For these doctors to totally lose credibility and become politicized in the middle of a global historic pandemic is just ludicrous, the entire concept. Also on vaccines, this is why the American people are skeptical about vaccines. Spectrum did a poll yesterday that again pointed out in New York how people are skeptical about the vaccines and whether or not they're going to take the vaccines. This whole vaccination process is going to be the next chapter in the COVID debacle. The way they've done it, they have spread distrust among the American people. where American people now say they're not, many of the, a great percent are not willing to take the first vaccine. That's because the way they've handled it. I said that we will put together a state task force that will review the vaccine. I said to you, the state is in charge of administering the vaccine, and we will do that on a statewide basis. There is no local role in managing the vaccine process in the state. The state will have a statewide plan. The localities will be responsible for fulfilling their role pursuant to the state plan. They won't have a separate plan. They won't have a separate vaccine approval process. This is all under state law. There's still a law, and the law is the law, and I don't want any confusion about that going forward. Like up until now with this whole COVID situation, the state made the rules. The locals were supposed to enforce the rules. That was the locals' responsibility. They have no authority to make rules. They can have opinions. I have opinions about what President Trump does. That's all they are, is opinions. I don't want any confusion about the vaccine. The federal government has done enough confusion already. Some of the reporting I've seen is not accurate. This locality says they're going to do this. This locality says they're going to do this. Localities have no legal jurisdiction. That's the law. One would think the law is relevant in reporting, but I'm an old timer. The also with Mr. Azar, the states are going to be responsible for administering the vaccine. All the discussion of the vaccine has been when it will be available, when the scientific community will develop it, how the scientific community will keep it cold, ship it, and all the conversation is ends with, and then they will ship it to the airport and put it on a truck and deliver it. Yes, and what happens after they deliver it? Oh, then the states are in charge. Okay, this is like testing. This is like contact tracing. This is like PPE. This is deja vu all over again. And when you deliver it to the states, how are the states supposed to administer 40 million vaccines? I've only done 12 million tests, moving heaven and earth in 7 months. How do I do 40 million vaccines? These are the questions that the governors have. You know, in the relay race, one runner hands the baton to the next. Yeah, well, before you hand the baton to the governors called administer the vaccine, the governors need to know what resources, what funding, what the timetable is, what can they expect. I'm chairman of the NGA. We sent 35 questions to the president. We have gotten no answer. Time is short. They want a vaccine by Election Day. They're upset that they're not going to have a vaccine by Election Day. Okay. Forget the day you're going to have the vaccine and stand up in the Rose Garden holding up the vial. That day is almost meaningless. How does that vial get reproduced 300 million times in this country and then get administered by all the states? Does that take 6 months? 9 months? 1 year? 2 years? Does it cost New York State $1 billion, $2 billion, $4 billion, $5 billion? Where does that funding come from? As far as the president's claim about anarchist states, once again, Mr. President, read the Constitution. There is a law. There's a 10th Amendment. The federal government doesn't have police power. That's a power that is reserved to the states by the 10th Amendment. Look at the slaughterhouse cases, 1872. Powers that are not explicitly federal are reserved to the states, and police power is reserved to the state. And I'm the head of the state. Questions, comments?
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile Q&A roster. Thank you.
Hello?
Your first question comes from the line of Andrew Siff from WNBC. Your line is open.
Governor, hello. Happy Thursday. Hope you're doing well.
Doing splendidly, Mr. Siff. Thank you very much for asking. I hope you're doing well also.
I am. Thank you. My question has to do with the microclusters. I know that yesterday you added Ozone Park to the list, and I'm wondering if you or your team has any explanation from contact tracing about what might be going on there, because you indicated in your remarks this morning that there's usually a very specific cause, whether it's indoor gathering in a house of worship or one house party or one Sweet 16. So I'm wondering, what happened in Ozone Park?
Good question, Mr. Siff. Let's talk about two dynamics, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Zucker and Gareth Rhodes if they have a specific. But let's talk about two dynamics, okay? You have an outbreak somewhere, and there's 37 cases. What caused the 37 cases? Is there a cause? Contact tracing to come back to something that caused those 37 cases. And very often there is something. Sweet 16 party, a bar, something. Religious gathering, church service, wedding, synagogue, temple, block party, Labor Day, something. Thanksgiving coming up. Once you have that, that's dynamic one. Once you have that cluster, and if it is geographically concentrated, which they often are, then those people get up the next morning and they walk to the bus stop and they go to school and they go to the store and they walk down the sidewalk. And now you have the pebble in the pond dynamic. Bloop, and then concentric rings start to go out. That's why we have the red zone, the orange zone, the yellow zone. So there are two dynamics. What caused the first cluster? And then once you have a cluster, assume it will spread in concentric circles going out. Ozone Park was attached to the zone. I don't know if we have a specific in Ozone Park or if it is just the spread from the concentration in the red zone. But it is a smart question. Do you know, Dr. Zucker, what has happened in Ozone Park? Do you know, or does Gary know?
Governor, I think it's what you just mentioned, that the overall rate went up and the area north was a yellow area, so this was an expansion due to the proximity. We follow the contact tracing. We'll try to find out if there's something specific in that area at this point.
Gareth, do you know what happened in Ozone Park?
No, Governor, you're right. I mean, what we have noticed an uptick in positivity there over the last, you know, week or two. And when we were looking at the entire Queens area, where there was a red zone, an orange zone, a yellow zone, and looking at the numbers and the progress that was made there, the Ozone Park area would have independently qualified to enter into one of our yellow zone areas. So as we were readjusting the maps based on the progress that had been north of there, we did it to include Ozone Park. And with all these clusters, if you look at the criteria put out yesterday, if you can tie all the cases, let's say, to a congregate facility or to where contact tracing can link it back to, we know exactly where it is and we can control it, it is one of the factors we take into consideration when drawing these zones. And in the case with Ozone Park, since we couldn't do that, we couldn't link it back to one facility or one specific event, that was, you know, one of the criteria we looked at when extending the map to include Ozone Park.
So the answer to Andrew's question is you don't have a specific reason that has been identified through contact tracing for the growth in Ozone Park, besides that it was adjacent to a yellow zone already, and the assumption is it's just spread from that yellow zone by interaction with that yellow zone. Is that the answer?
Correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay, Mr. Siff, we figured it out together. Next question.
Reisman from Spectrum News, your line is open.
Hi, Governor. I actually have two questions. One, I've noticed that there's been kind of a fluctuation in the number of hospitalizations over the last several weeks. It seems like they go up by a couple dozen and then go down by a couple dozen. I was wondering if there was any explanation or understanding behind why we're seeing these hospitalizations increase and then decrease a little bit, but then increase again. And secondly, and forgive me if this is already been answered in a previous call, but what happens if a polling place is in a red zone where a polling where like a gathering area has to close down?
That question has not been asked. Let Beth and Rob think about that for a second. Your first question, Nick, is important, and people have to understand this, please. They don't have to, but it would be nice if you actually want to inform people. The states all across the country, the hospitalizations are just going up. The infection rate is going up. That's why we have so many states now on our quarantine list, right? 43 or whatever it is. Let me edit your question a little bit. Why, when other states are just going up, why do you have this up and down in New York? You go up a few, then you go down. You go up a few, then you go down. Other states are just going up. What is this up and down? That gets back to my point. With the microcluster strategy, you will see them rise and fall. Hospitalization starts to go up. Because Queens is a microcluster and we track those hospitalizations back to a neighborhood in Queens, and 14 people were hospitalized in Queens and the hospitalization rate went up 14, and we run to Queens and contact trace, and it turns out they all went to a block party on Woodside Avenue, and they exceeded the limit, and that's where they came from. Okay, contact trace, isolate, restrict, slow the infection rate, hospitalizations come down. Next day, Steuben County, hospitalization rate goes up. Run, microcluster, identify, detect, restrict, number comes down. That up and down says the microcluster approach is working. Otherwise, Nick, you're where every other state is, which is you're just going up. See, they don't have the testing capacity to identify a microcluster. If you're talking, I talk to governors all day long in this NGA role. They have a statewide number. They would say their call is, today the statewide positivity is 0.9. We had 47 new cases. Where are they, Governor? Oh, they're all across the state. What caused them, Governor? Basic spread. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow, Governor? I don't know. We have to see. It depends if people socially distance and wear masks. We have such granular data that we get that tick up. The microcluster approach, I'm working on an op-ed on this now because I've been talking to governors about it, and it's complicated to explain. If you do enough tests, you will get more granular data that will show you neighborhoods in Queens as opposed to just Queens. You'll then see exactly where those hospitalizations come from. We get data from individual hospitals. They all went into Jamaica Hospital. What's going on at Jamaica Hospital? And then you come up with a neighborhood-driven restriction plan, and you get it down. The up and the down is the success of our approach. Otherwise, we are where every other state is, where that number just keeps going up. And that's what's happening in every other state. Do you understand that, Nick? All right. Second, Beth,
yeah.
Rob, whoever, what happens if there's a polling place in a red zone?
So polling and coming out to vote is an essential activity. It's a constitutionally protected activity, so that would continue. We publish detailed guidance through Department of Health prior to the June primaries that allows voting to be conducted safely, and it would not violate any of the gathering restrictions because there are requirements presented there for social distancing, mask wearing, and sanitization protocols. So that will continue. Early voting starts on the 24th. Early voting is a great way to reduce density. And New Yorkers should also remember that they still do have time to request an absentee ballot, particularly online or by phone, in order to get that in time. And that absentee ballot just has to be mailed by Election Day if anyone is concerned about voting in person.
Thank you very much. Good answer. One more question, operator.
Your next question comes from the line of Marsha Kramer from WCBS-TV. Your line is open.
Governor, how are you doing today?
Marsha Kramer, can I give you another story besides the pork chop? How about the lamb chop story?
Again with the lamb chops? I want to talk about that tree. Never mind. Governor, I wonder, given the fact that, Brooklyn and Rockland and Orange County are still in the red zones, do you have any prognosis about how much longer those red zones are going to be in effect?
No. They'll be in effect until the data says they're not in effect. It's that simple. We've had numerous conversations. The enforcement mechanisms here are very strict, Marsha. Remember what the state said. A school that is in violation of these rules will not receive state funding. A child care facility that is in violation of these rules will lose its license to operate. A local government that does not do enforcement will lose state funding. Well, this is harsh. Yeah, but remember where we are. This didn't happen but for lack of compliance. This did not happen but for lack of compliance. And now your lack of compliance has put nurses in jeopardy and doctors in jeopardy and cost taxpayers money and put your neighbors' lives in jeopardy. It was your lack of compliance meets lack of enforcement. That's how this happened. So I urge you again to comply, but I'm going to step up the enforcement. And the most dramatic enforcement is you operate a school that shouldn't be operating. You're going to lose state funding. You operate a child care facility, you're going to lose your license to operate the child care facility. So if they are violating the rule, they will be shut down because they can't operate without funding. So we are doing everything that we can, and then I talk to the local governments, and they, plus or minus, are doing more enforcement also. But it's when the numbers say, now, having said all that, we've seen great progress over the past couple of weeks. So it is working. But when, we have to follow the data week to week. Okay, guys, thank you all very much. Guys, gender neutral, before one of you accuses me of something untoward. Thank you all very much for taking the time to be with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.